Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, Prophet Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 35 through 52. Jerusalem's fitting punishment for her sin. God is so perfectly righteous that when he punishes men for their sins, the punishment precisely fits the sin. God never overpunishes, neither does he underpunish. He's very precise, and he's very controlled with what he does in punishing. This principle is displayed in God's predicted punishment on the city of Jerusalem in Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 35 to 52. And we view this passage for our insight and edification in our relationship with the Lord. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel 16, 35 to 52. Wherefore, and he's addressing the city of Jerusalem, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of your abominations, and by the blood of your children which you did give unto them. Behold, therefore I will gather all your lovers with whom you have taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, and I will even gather them round about against you, and will uncover your nakedness to them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee, as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in my fury and jealousy. And I will give also unto thee into their hand. And they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down the high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. And they shall also bring up a company against you. They shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. They shall burn thine houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou shalt also give no more hire any more. So I will make my fury toward you to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from me. And I will be quiet, and I will no longer be angry. Because thou hast not remembered the days of your youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore also I will pay you back a recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, every one that uses proverb shall use this proverb against you, saying, as thy mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter, that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father was an Amorite. Thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, which means that's a reference to the north, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand, that's the south, is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou hast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister has not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness in her, was her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of your sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thy abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed, more abominable than they, and they are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. Okay, a lot of figures of speech here. We have to clarify what's going on. Having compared Jerusalem's wickedness in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 15 to 34 to that of an immoral wife, God addressed her as a prostitute in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 35, calling her to hear his announcement of judgment against her. Since Jerusalem had been like an immoral wife to the Lord in making protection treaties with foreign nations instead of seeking God's protection, since she had worshipped false idols instead of the Lord, and since she had sacrificed her children, really God's children, to false idols, God would administer punishment upon her for such sins of spiritual unfaithfulness to him. The Lord would gather all of Jerusalem's false so-called lovers against her. That would be Gentiles to whom she had turned for protection. And they would strip her bare, expose her nakedness by way of defeat in war, and seize her goods. Immoral wives were punished by death under the fury and jealousy of their enraged husbands. So God would give Jerusalem into the hand of her false lovers, who would break down her high places, strip her of her clothes, and take her fair jewels and leave her bare. The picture here is of a city in general and how it's ravaged by an invading army and they take all the goods and everything. Immoral women were executed in that era by being stoned to death. So God promised to have spiritually immoral Jerusalem slain with stones and the sword, and her houses burned with fire in the presence of many women, so that she would no longer play the role of a spiritually immoral prostitute. God would expend his wrath on the city until it was satiated, and then he would be at rest. Well, to clarify the greatness of Jerusalem's sins, the Lord then declared how much more wicked she was than her evil sister cities that God had already destroyed in judgment. Those sister cities being Jerusalem's older sister, Samaria, up north in Israel, and her wicked younger sister city of Sodom to the south. Remember the directions here when it says Samaria to the left and Sodom to the right. They don't have, in Hebrew, they don't have words for north, south, east, and west. So what you do is you get all your directions by facing east. So the east is the word front, west is the word back, north is the word left, and south is the word right. So Samaria to your left and Sodom to your right. Samaria to your north and Sodom to your south. So you have to keep that in mind when they talk about left and right. You have to be careful. Is he talking about areas of the compass or left hand or right hand? You have to look at the context. Well, the Lord indicated that a proverb would be spoken comparing Jerusalem to other cities. That proverb specifically mean, as is the mother, so is her daughter. We have a proverb that's something like that. The apple never falls far from the tree. Okay? That means the child is very much like the father, or the mother, or the parent. The parent is the tree, and the child is the apple. That's the saying that is being taught here. Specifically, Jerusalem was the daughter of a woman who had loathed her husband and her children. And Jerusalem was one among those three sisters, as her mother was a Hittite and her father was an Amorite, referring to her origin under the pagan goddess Jebusites. We covered this back in Ezekiel 16. They believed that the Jebusites, who ruled the city of Jebus, which eventually became the city of David, as a fortress city, the Jebusites were actually half-breeds. They're half-breeds between the Hittite group and the Amorite, because they appear in the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10 between those two. So they wouldn't have been that respected. They would have been at the very bottom of the heap sociologically of even the Canaanites. And that's the people that had lived there. Then Jerusalem's older sister was Samaria, the northern kingdom, whom God had already destroyed in punishment for her idolatry. And her younger sister was Sodom, whom God had destroyed in punishment for sin in the days of Abraham. Remember when Lot and his family was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God's angels got him out of there. And we know Sodom and Gomorrah as cities that were known for the sins of homosexuality and so forth. But it's interesting, the passage that we have here, that's just one of the sins. They were guilty of a lot of other kinds of sins. But anyway, God, number four, nevertheless, regardless of God's already having punished Samaria and Sodom, Jerusalem was even more wicked than they had been. That's kind of an eye-opener, and it's designed to shock the people of Jerusalem. God says, as I look at Sodom, whom I destroyed with fire and brimstone, and I destroyed Samaria by causing the Syrians to come in, you're more wicked than both of them. And that's designed to jar the people. Well, specifically, God noted that Sodom and her people had not committed the degree of evil that Jerusalem had done. For Sodom was guilty of pride, that's one of the sins, materialism, idleness, ignoring the plight of the poor, and practicing sexual abominations. So God had destroyed Sodom's people. Samaria had committed only half of the sins of Jerusalem. Apparently, the sins that Samaria had committed in idolatry were very closely akin to the sins that Jerusalem was committing in idolatry. But Jerusalem was committing them to a much greater extent. There were a lot more children, for example, that had been sacrificed to these idols and child sacrifice down in Jerusalem than there had ever been up in Samaria. The worship of the Baals, the worship of the pagan gods around them is just huge. In fact, we know that they were actually worshiping the Queen of Heaven, which the Babylonian god Ishtar. The Queen of Heaven has been adopted by the Roman Catholic Church and applied to Mary, but that goes directly back from Babylon. But in Jeremiah's day, they were actually making, the women were actually baking cakes unto the Queen of Heaven. So this was a terrible situation. But Samaria had committed only half the sins of Jerusalem. However, Jerusalem had multiplied her sins more than Sodom and Samaria, in comparison seemingly justifying those cities as opposed to herself in God's view. God really doesn't mean that Jerusalem had actually justified Sodom and had justified Samaria, but because God had gone ahead and judged those cities, he destroyed them already. But in comparison, it was as if Jerusalem was justifying those cities. See, that's what God is saying. It's a comparison. So Jerusalem had judged her sisters of Samaria and Sodom as being wicked. So God says, you've already judged those cities as being wicked, and that's why I judge them. Well, guess what? You're worse than they are. So since you've judged them as evil and you're worse than they are, I'm going to judge you. So now she, that's Jerusalem, would bear her own shame for her sins that were more abominable in comparison to her sister cities. I think one reason why God held off on Jerusalem as long as he did is because Jerusalem was the place where David had set up his throne. And God had said, I'm always going to leave a city, a light in Jerusalem, and so forth. So he kind of pampered Jerusalem, because that was the city of David. But Jerusalem eventually got to such a point that God had no choice. He says, I've got to lower the boom. So the lesson is, for having acted in the spiritual realm like an immoral wife in the physical realm, God promised to punish Jerusalem with the punishment of an immoral wife. Indeed, Jerusalem's sins were so great in comparison to those of Samaria and Sodom that God had already punished. Her judgment was certain to fall with severity. So in application, if God deals with us with severity in a specific realm of our lives, may we review what we have done in that realm and confess it, for his punishment fits the sin. God is, and I found this very true in my own life, the lives of other people too, he's very particular. When he starts to lower the boom, all you have to do is pay attention to how he's doing it, and he points at the sin. So he wants us to watch it. Now, if we see God punish another party, a Samaria or a Sodom, may we examine ourselves to see if we have sinned akin to their sin, and if so, repent. The Bible talks, there's a principle, I think it's in Galatians somewhere, that talks about, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If we see another brother or sister in Christ who's caught up in sin, we need to examine ourselves. Many years ago, we had to exercise church discipline on a man in our church because he had fallen into sin, a sin of some kind. And it was a difficult, it was one of the first disciplines that we had done. We had gone to him and gone through all the steps, and he hadn't repented and so forth. So eventually, we had to call the congregation. Congregation went to him, it didn't work, so we had to have a meeting where we removed this person from the membership and so forth by force. And my mind was reeling, the board's mind was reeling, it was kind of a difficult situation, but it's interesting. A couple of weeks after that, we learned that there were two other men in our church who had been seriously tempted to go into the same sin. But when they saw the action that we'd taken as a board, they decided against it. And then we became very grateful that we'd gone ahead and administered the discipline that we had, because it kept them and it kept whole families from being torn apart. So when we get into these situations, I always, as a pastor, I look at my own life and say, okay, there go I, but for the grace of God. So if there's this brother or this sister in Christ that we're having to deal with, the first thing we need to do is to check ourselves. And that's something that we need to watch ourselves. If we see another church get into difficulty, sometimes I hear it's pastors get into sin. Sometimes it's other churches where there's some sort of a division or something. The first thing we need to be doing is looking at ourselves and say, okay, are we headed down that road or not? And if we are, we need to make adjustments ourselves. I'm reminded of the passage in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, which is the prophecy about the Church of Philadelphia. This is essentially the 20th century church in the country. Germany was the nation that had produced the thinkers that produced German rationalism. And German rationalism undermined belief in the authority and the divine inspiration of Scripture that spread through a lot of the Ivy League schools in our country and so forth, and undermined belief in the credibility of Scripture. What's interesting is God attacks that and critiques that in that passage. And in World War II, Germany was the nation that was really hammered, and she ended up being split. And I believe it was discipline of the Lord on Germany. Germany had at one time a tremendous advantage. Martin Luther was in Germany. He was Germany. And the Protestant Reformation was there, and Luther was strong on the centrality and the importance of Scripture. Sola Scriptura came right out of the Reformation. But Germany turned her back on that. And so she paid a huge price. So we need to watch ourselves. And if we need to, make sure that we make the adjustment.